Peace Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way with new eyes. So, stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today is the United Nations. And before we get started with our topic, we have to give some credits to Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the author of 24 volumes of literature, and most of the dialogue that you hear on this show has been inspired by the works of Alice Bailey, as is the following thought. When the United Nations has emerged into factual and actual power, the welfare of the world will be assured. What is that welfare but love in action? What is international cooperation but love on a world scale? Can you say something about the United Nations as an expression of love?
Well, according to the writings of Alice Bailey, right human relations are an expression of love. Right human relations between two individuals, between groups of people, that's easy enough for us to understand as an expression of love. But right relationships between nations are also an expression of love, in the sense that peoples, whole peoples, strive to have to live in harmony and concord with other nations. And the United Nations is an expression of love in that sense, that it provides a forum for the nations of the world to come together and achieve consensus on goals and problems that concern the whole of humanity. To put it on a more personal level, a recent incident with the United Nations mission in Iraq illustrates love as it expresses through the UN. The deaths of the head of the mission, Sergio Vieira de Mello, and his 20-some members of his staff, I think, are an expression of the love and sacrifice on the part of UN workers in such dangerous missions. In fact, I've read that the number of UN workers who have died in missions, not the peacekeeping forces, who are soldiers, but workers, people who go to offices, who show up for their jobs and die for it in UN missions around the world, has been increasing. It's in the hundreds, I think, each year. I might be wrong on that. It might be a statistic covering 5 years. But in any case, these are people who literally sacrifice their lives to aid trouble spots in the world in need of the UN's services.
And it's a testimony to the great vision that people who work, you know, devoted to the United Nations, it's the vision that they have. And that vision is, it's interesting to put it in the context, I think, because, as you know, the UN was founded in around 1945. And it's interesting because this quote, that the opening thought that we read, was written by Alice Bailey along about the time that the UN was founded.
Just as the World War was ending,
and along about the time when the UN was forming, and the idea was filtering down, and the vision for the UN was beginning to take shape in the mind of FDR, President Roosevelt. And he was the one that actually came out with the name, the United Nations. He's been given credit for that. But so Alice Bailey wrote about this, and that quote is contained in a book called The Externalization of the Hierarchy. And her writing about it indicates just how closely this inner spiritual hierarchy of the planet is, how concerned they are and how much they are watching the the founding of the UN. And in fact, we have been heard that they were overshadowing the founding group in San Francisco in 1945. And so to the spiritual hierarchy, the fact that human thinking at that time had the capacity to see the need and the vision for some 50 nations to come together at the end of World War II and form this great cooperative effort and create the institution of the United Nations, well, that was a great spiritual moment for human evolutionary history. And I think this is why the spiritual hierarchy is watching this development with such interest. The global consciousness is the next stage in our evolutionary development. And
just the attempt for these nations to come together and work together in shared purpose caught the attention of hierarchy?
Yes, and it's never been happened before. We've had nations work. A few nations work together. And
usually to make war.
But now this was a group of nations, some 50 nations, that came together to end the scourge of war, as it says in the UN Charter. And this is what they had hoped to do. And this was a tremendous leap forward in the eyes of the spiritual hierarchy for humanity to make this recognition and come together in this great cooperative spiritual effort.
There's, I think, a tendency today to, well, not just a tendency, a real effort to downplay and degrade and deride the work of the United Nations because, horrors, it's not perfect. But when you talk about this holy and sacred origin and the tremendous spiritual impulse that led to the founding of the United Nations, I would think it should give people a sense of profound optimism and hope about humanity. And still, in spite of all the problems, the United Nations does so much good in the world. I think people who live in countries like the United States and most of the developed world don't really appreciate the United Nations because they don't need it as much. But the smaller nations and the impoverished societies, they know the value of the United Nations because they receive its help and its benefits through countless programs.
Yes, there's there tend to be too much of a thought process in this country that the UN is irrelevant to the UN and I mean to the United States and. But I think the UN is irrelevant only to those who believe that evolution has stopped, because we're in the process of developing a globalized consciousness now, and the UN is more relevant than ever because of this. And so as human consciousness is able to encompass more of the whole, it needs just such an organization as the UN as a global agency through which to work.
And the structure, the infrastructure is already in place for these, for the increasing globalization. The UN already has the programs and the platforms available on which nations of the world can come together. I think that's quite significant. And there are some real successes. Unfortunately, a lot of the attention paid to the United Nations focuses on the political aspect, which takes place in the meetings in the General Assembly from September through December, when all the nations send their major leaders to address the UN Assembly and to focus on their views on particular issues that are before the General Assembly. But there's a lot more in terms of the United Nations agencies and programs that people aren't so aware of. For example, just this past year, the outbreak of SARS throughout Asia, and it spread as far west as Toronto. I don't know if people noticed, but the World Health Organization, which is an agency of the United Nations, was involved at the very heart of that crisis and its resolution. Without the World Health Organization, there wouldn't have been the ability, I don't think, to direct measures to check the disease and to find a way of treating it and to alert nations that were in danger of it. So that's one example of the UN coming to...
Absolutely, and the World Health Organization did much to stamp out smallpox around the world. And I don't think that there is enough appreciation of these factors, that how the UN is really helping us, even though we may not always need it. But the fact that it's there and helping other parts of the world helps all of us.
And there was a time a few decades ago when the United States really did seem much more appreciative of the United Nations, much more involved. It's been in more recent years that it seems to have withdrawn, well, literally it withdrew its financial support, to our great embarrassment. Now they've paid back quite a lot of that money, but not all of the money, ever since September 11th, 2001, when they woke up to the fact that the United States needs other nations and their support. Then they quickly paid the billions of dollars that were in arrears, but they still owe something like a billion, according to the UN. And we spend, what, $40 billion a month on the war?
Something like that.
I'm terrible with figures, but we could spare a billion for the UN, no problem.
Yeah. And, of course, there is the always the controversy in the Security Council, that's always gets publicity, and that's what so many people think about what the UN is when they see that on their television and think that's all that there is to the UN is the Security Council, which is terribly, terribly wrong. And that because there are so much other great work that the UN is doing in across the world.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, and our topic for today is the United Nations. On Saturday, October 25th, 2003, from 1:30 to 5:15 p.m., we're having a symposium, and the theme of the symposium is Hearing the Cry of Humanity. It's an afternoon featuring guest speakers, group discussion, meditation on the theme of mobilizing men and women of goodwill to respond to human and planetary need. So we welcome you. We invite you. We hope that you attend, join us. You can register for the symposium. Once again, it's called Hearing the Cry of Humanity, by giving us a call on our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. Once again, to register for the symposium, to join us on that day. We'd love to have you. Just give us a call at 1-866-695-8247, or if you'd like to, you can register on our website of www.lucistrust.org. Once again, www.lucistrust.org if you want to register via our website. I think you'll find some of the topics of discussion very interesting. I think it's everyone could probably agree that there's a need for this topic that will be discussed, one called The Change in Consciousness Needed to Make a True Peace Possible, by Mr. Parker, who works for the World Peace Prayer Society, and he's also the organizer of the International Day of Peace. Another topic is how would a more spiritually based United Nations enable it to better meet world need? I think it's probably appropriate if Sarah maybe added a little bit to, did I say enough, Sarah? Would you like to say something more about that? You can explain it a little better than me.
Well, it's a chance for hearing these guest speakers share their views, but also for group discussion in small groups to share your ideas. And we always have meditation in our meetings to distribute the energies generated through people coming together and sharing their focused thought. And people can refer to our website if they want to register, www.lucistrust.org.
Okay, also, if you'd like to know more about us, more about Lucis Trust, we have a general package of information. Just give us a call on the toll-free number, order it. It's filled with a lot of material that I think you'll find it interesting reading and also informative. 1-866-695-8247. That's to order the general package of information or to register, or as Sarah said, you can register on the website, www.lucistrust.org. nylucis.org. The easy way to remember the phone number, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Lucis, once again, is L-U-C-I-S. I think we have a lot more to say about that. We were speaking about the United Nations, and I had posed a question to you saying, can you say something about the United Nations as an expression of love? There's so much, so many good things about the United Nations, and yet there's criticism that I think is undeserved a lot of times. So maybe we can talk more about it as an organization
yes.
expressing love.
Well, I think that part of the criticism of the United Nations is related to a statement in the books of Alice Bailey that says, nations are the expression of the massed self-centeredness of a people and their instinct for self-preservation. A nation is an expression of self-centeredness on a massive scale. Well, the United Nations provides a forum where many nations come together, and that self-centered, intensely focused me, me, me attitude cannot work in a global forum. When you think about it, it's obvious that people have to set aside their intense personal agenda or their national agenda, and find some way to work out the issues and problems in collaboration and discussion with other nations. That's what happens at the UN. And that is probably why so many people feel that their own nation doesn't have a clear avenue for putting forth its views and getting its way. Well, thank goodness for that, because if every nation had that opportunity, there would be no consensus, no global agreement. And I think this relates to something deeply spiritual about the United Nations. The writings of Alice Bailey said that the fourth ray of harmony through conflict works within the people who guide the destiny of the United Nations. We've talked about the seven rays before in our programs, the seven rays being a sevenfold expression of divinity. And the fourth ray of harmony through conflict is a deeply spiritual energy that works through the United Nations. And her writings also say that the task of the fourth ray servers is to harmonize new ideas with old, so that there is no dangerous gap or break, and that these workers bring about a righteous compromise and adapt the new to the old so that the true pattern is preserved. When you think about it, you can see that working through the United Nations, can't you? That balance and equilibrium that it seeks to establish between different interests.
That's the fourth ray that is said to govern all of humanity, you know, works out through
right.
that fourth ray, and that's probably why humanity is so subject to crisis, mm-hmm. After crisis and conflict, and we're constantly trying to work out and find a point of harmony.
Mm-hmm. Equilibrium.
Equilibrium, mm-hmm. and that's that fourth ray quality, I think, that's very evident that's working through. But another good thing I think we should keep in mind is the UN is a global agency, and it's built for the building of right human relations and the building of bridges, and it's not for creating lines of separateness and divisions, and it's this building of bridges which enable the energy of love and goodwill to flow throughout the world, because if it weren't for bridges building, love wouldn't flow, this great divine energy of love. And that's what makes it such a spiritual center in the world.
And sometimes that love pouring across those bridges happens in very practical ways, through the distribution of aid, through programs that the UN establishes to improve literacy and child care and mother's health. There are so many programs that express love in a very fundamental and practical way, and the workers who implement those programs are usually unsung servers. And there's a great deal happening within the UN system that takes place far beyond the walls of the General Assembly, where most people get their blood pressure up.
We might just mention here, too, that if anybody out there would like to cooperate with the publication or the publicizing of the UN and the work of the UN, then there are organizations right here, well, in New York and then maybe in your community too, that do that. And one of the outstanding ones is one called UNA USA. In other words, the United Nations associations throughout the United States. And there are some probably close to 200 chapters of this group now throughout the United States. And you might look around in your community to see if there is one, because they provide teaching materials and all kinds of promotional literature and to promote the great values of the United Nations. And it's interesting, one of the programs that they have is called Adopt a Minefield. Mm. I don't know if you've heard that.
No.
Because of the millions of mines, landmines, that have been strewed around the world. And they're probably in about 60 countries where these mines, and we know of them, the war in Southeast Asia, so many children and farmers and people that just walk across these mines and are maimed and killed. And it's a big, big problem. So the UNA USA organization has a special program called Adopt a Landmine. And you can help by promoting and working towards the alleviation of these mines through working through your local chapter.
And another reason we should point out for this topic on this particular day is that October 24th is the anniversary of the UN's founding in San Francisco, I think, in 1945, yeah. October 24th, 1945. Mm-hmm. So it's good to highlight the work of the United Nations, particularly because the writings of Alice Bailey recognize the deep spiritual import of this global institution. It's not perfect, but then neither is humanity. And it's only as good as humanity is. It's only as effective as the nations of the world allow it to be. The UNA is one good example where people can work to support the UN. Model UN programs in schools are another. And probably our listeners have heard of those.
Also, I just am so impressed by the people that you have speaking at the symposium. Diane Williams, international consultant, represents the Temple of Understanding at the United Nations in Geneva and New York, as well as a number of other committees supportive of the United Nations. I'll certainly be there, but
well,
I hope I'm not a disappointment to people. I'm not going to be speaking, though. But once again, if you would like to register for the symposium, it's 1-866-695-8247. Easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS, L-U-C-I-S is LUCIS. That's 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Or you can register on our website, www.lucistrust.org. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills. The purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.